Thank you for worshiping with us. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to spend a little time there. We're thankful that you're with us. We're always, glad when those who are supposed to be here are with us. But we're even made to rejoice more when we have guests who come to be with us. We know you could be any place in the world, but you chose to be with us. So you've presented us with a great honor this morning. We hope you'll find your time enjoyable, beneficial to you. Maybe you find it so enjoyable and beneficial you want to come back, just be a part of every service of the Lord's church. Hey, we got a great week ahead of us. Tuesday evening, our Wednesday services are being moved to Tuesday this week, as we do every year for several years now. And at 5:30, we're going to have a chili supper together. You come, bring someone with you. Let's see if every one of us can bring one. Can we do that? I think we can. You say, I'll have to think about that a minute. I'm glad that's what I want you to do. Be thinking about who you can bring. Now, if you're like me, you may have to invite 10 people before you find one that likes you well enough to come with you. But invite 10 people. Just think about it. You think about it. You find someone and invite and bring someone with you, okay? Those folks who are fixing or preparing the meal for us, hey, I could afford to do without one. I could afford to do without a meal myself. We'll let the guests eat and make sure that we got plenty, and then, the rest of us who could afford to do without, if there's any left, we can eat, okay? But everyone, see if you can bring someone with you. And then, 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to enjoy a great singing. Congregational sings. The area congregation is invited to come and to be a part of it. And we'll just go around the room. Any of the men who want to lead, just jump up, lead a verse of a song. And we'll just have a great time together this coming Tuesday. Then no services Wednesday evening, okay? If you're traveling, I give you a chance to travel. Wherever you're traveling to, find your congregation, along the way, and just stop in for an hour of Bible study. Would you be better off? You'd be better off. If you're not traveling, we got congregations around us here that, just drop in, enjoy a period of Bible study with him. You say, I don't get out. Well, there's not anything wrong with opening your Bible and studying it for an hour either. Would you be better off? You'll be better off. There are not many people who are like me. I can remember some of my great-grandparents. I can remember some of my great-great-grandparents. My great-grandmother, West. When I was a boy, from Mom's house, just down the road and in the curve, house set right up there. That's where they lived. Had a porch all the way across the front. I can remember my grandfather, great-great-grandfather. If I remember right, Mom, now I was young, but he couldn't see and he couldn't hear. But he sat every day on that porch with a Bible on his lap. He couldn't read it, and if you read it to him, he couldn't hear it. But he said every day. Now, if you think that won't impress a kid who walks up on the porch and there's a man who can't see you, he can't hear you, but he knows you're there, and he's got a Bible on his lap, it'd tell you the book he loved. It'd tell you the book that he loved. You love the book just like he did, don't you? Let's show it. Let's show it out, okay? Let's show it out in our lives, okay, by studying together. We've been thinking about over the past few weeks the need for us to stand fast. Stand firm. Dig in. Don't back up. Don't let anything push us from our position that we're to be standing in. And we got practical last week by looking at stand firm by being spiritual parents. You know, the Apostle John was told by Jesus, it'll be in red letters in the book of Revelation. John was told by Jesus to write letters to seven churches. One of those churches in chapter 3, beginning, was the church at Sardis. Not a thing good said about them. Not one positive thing was said about them. They wore a name. They had a reputation. But they were dead. Not a positive thing said about them. And yet Jesus said, strengthen the things that remaineth. You know, that's something we need to stand firm in. Strengthening the things that remaineth. And sometimes that involves helping one another out. That's something we can do. That's a way we can stand firm, is by being of help to one another. Look at Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Brethren. Say, he's talking to you. He's talking to me, Christians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, this man deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I want you to think real quickly with me this morning. We're going to do it. I'm going to remind myself of what I want us to take home with us. Using three R's. One of those is the reality of burdens. We're going to talk about the reality of burdens. The second, we're going to talk about the reason for burdens. And when we do that, we're just going to let Peter tell us. The book of 1 Peter is so much like the book of Job. It's dealing with problems. It's dealing with difficulties that come in your life. And we're just going to let the Apostle Peter tell us the reasons for those. And then finally, we're going to look at the response to burdens. So we're going to look at the reality. We're going to look at the reason. We're going to look at the response, okay? If we just take those things home with us, I think... at least I will. I'll be better off for thinking about it. First of all, start with me. As we look at the reality of burdens, notice that the Apostle Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, doesn't say, if you're burdened. He says, when a man's overtaken in a fault, every man has his own burdens to bear, he'll say. Not if you have burdens. But you know, even if the Holy Spirit didn't see fit to do that, we'd recognize that this life has burdens. The burden that's talked about in chapter 6, verse number 1 of Galatians, is the burden of being overtaken in a fault. It's probably I would assume that he's referring to any fault, but maybe directly to the fault that he's been addressing in this letter. That there were some who had come saying, hey, it's not enough just to follow Christ. But you need to follow Christ, but you need to be circumcised as well. You need to keep things out of the Old Testament as well. And men had fallen into that. Paul called them foolish Galatians. In chapter 5, and some had fallen into that. And Paul's addressing that and he's correcting it, and he knows he's talking to some in that congregation or some in those congregations who they had fallen into that. They had been overtaken in that thought. And he's saying to those who didn't, now listen, when it comes to restoring them, you that are spiritual, you're the ones who need to be doing this. You that are spiritual, restore such a one, but do it in a spirit of meekness, remembering, considering the fact that you yourself can be overtaken in fault too, right? So be gentle with them. Yes, restore them. Yes, address that. Yes, Paul does. And he uses some really strong language. But then you see the compassion come out in it too. Okay, they've been overtaken. But now, you know, being overtaken in a fault is a real burden, isn't it? Maybe I'm the only one who's ever been overtaken in a fault. But especially if your heart is sensitive and you want to do right, you want to be right, and you don't want to live like that. And then you recognized you've been overtaken in a fault. Boy, that's a burden to bear, isn't it? That's a burden to bear. There's a burden to bear in that. And, you know, it's not uncommon for people to be overtaken in faults, is there? For people to be overtaken in sin. He's dealing with the reality. There's the burden of sin that people have to bear. They do. There's also the burden of, let's just think about it. There's a burden when it comes to our bodies. You're aware of that, right? There are burdens when it comes to the care of your bodies. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many people that I pray for weekly. I just have a list of them who are suffering from cancer. Of one form or another, they're suffering from cancer. Do you know anyone? Are they bearing a burden? Was that a burden? How about every 5 years when it's just time to go back for a checkup? It's a burden, isn't it? It's a burden. Those people are carrying burdens. And it comes to us in not just cancer, it comes to us in other ways. Illnesses, diseases, they come to us. Those are burdens, aren't they? Those are burdens. Hey, there's also the burden of, I'm just thinking of a few. You know, there's the burden of sin. There's the burden, there's burdens that come with a loss of health on one level or another, whatever it is. There's a burden when it comes to a loss of health. Those people are experiencing burdens. But there's the burden that comes from a Christian who's really sensitive to what's going on in the church. I mean, you feel sensitive to that. Look with me. Keep your finger here because I'm going to come back here to Galatians chapter 6. But keep your finger there and turn over with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I think I can find it for you pretty quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke. There it is. Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas have gone up to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and the elders about a situation that's being occurred. Everywhere the apostle Paul goes, everywhere Barnabas goes, everywhere they go, there are some who are Christians who are following them. And because they're preaching to the Gentiles, they're troubling them. They're hindering their work. And so they come to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and the elders about this. Watch. And these apostles and elders decide to write a letter. So I'm beginning with you now in verse number 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. And here's what the letter says. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us. Are these Christians? Certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. saying. Subverting your soul, saying. You must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom we gave no such commandment. You understand, they went out from us, but we didn't tell them to do that. What were they doing? They were troubling the church. There are some who are troubling the church. I mean, right here in this letter, in the Galatian letter, there were some who were troubling the church. If you look back into chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who hath called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. Look, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There they were. They were troubling the church. The Apostle Paul in chapter 5, the chapter just ahead of where we've got our focus this morning, in chapter 5 of Galatians, he says in verse number 7, he said, you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? You're being hindered. Who did it? He'll say in verse number 8, this persuasion, this hindering, it comes not by him that called you, I can tell you that. It didn't come from the one who called you. Down in verse number 12, he'll say, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. And you know, when we look at what goes on in the body of Christ and things are going on here and things are happening here that, you know, it should never happen. It just shouldn't happen. And any of us who are sensitive to the truth of the gospel and to God's will for the church, you know, we're troubled by that. We are. And then, of course, there are the troubles, are the burdens of responsibility. Look back with me at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. You see the word burden there in verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse number 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, every man's got to bear his own burden. Sounds like a contradiction. It's a shame that when the words were translated out, and you're just going to have to take my word for it or investigate it, and I hope you will. Check me out. Don't take my word for it. But the word burden in verse number 2 and the word burden in verse number 5 are not the same word. The word burden in verse number 2 is the word for weight, for burden. I mean, you're weighted down by this. It's the burden of a fault that he's talking about. It's the burden of sin. And you're weighted down by that. But the word burden in verse number 5 is the word that we would normally translate responsibility. If you read it, and you don't even have to know the Greek to see this. If we studied it, rather than studying it one verse at a time, if we read it like a letter, you'd pick up on this. Hey, the burden he's talking about in verse number 5, that's different from a burden he's talking about in verse number 2. So just read it with me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But, in contrast to that, but let every man prove his own work, or let every man fulfill his own work. His own responsibility. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. He's got his own responsibility. He does. Let's see if that's not true in what he says now. Let him that is taught share with him, or communicate, the King James Version says, share with him unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Every one of us, as Christians, we bear responsibility. There's a burden of responsibility. If the responsibility is that of teaching, then you have that responsibility. Hey, it fell on me this morning to teach the adult class during our Bible class hour. Whose responsibility was it? Who had to bear that burden? The one who had the responsibility, right? Right? So I had to study a little bit. I know all of you studied too. You did, didn't you? In preparation for that? But you really expect the man who, that's his responsibility, to bear that burden, don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. Do you as a Christian have a responsibility for doing good? As we have therefore opportunity, let us fulfill that burden, right? Fulfill that work. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. See, there's the burden of responsibility that falls upon us. It does. Do deacons have any responsibility? Do you, Roger? Well, who's got to bear it? Who needs to do it? If it's your responsibility, who needs to do it? Roger does. I mean, do you want to preach? Well, whose responsibility is that? Oh, that's David's soul. Who's supposed to do that? That's my responsibility. We understand this, don't we? You see, there's all kinds of burdens, right? There's the reality of burdens. There's the burden that comes from being overtaken and fallen, burden of sin. There's the burden when it comes to our bodies, to our health. That's a different kind, another kind of burden. There's the burden that comes from the, you know, the Apostle Paul said it, put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, and that besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Concern for the church, that's a responsibility. And then you got that personal responsibility that's yours, just yours. No one can do that work for you. You're either going to do it or it's going to go undone, because David has his work and David can't do yours and his. If you don't do yours, it doesn't get done. Is that good English? I don't even know. There's probably a better way to word that. But you don't get any better truth than that. Every man's to prove his own work. Every man's to fulfill his own work and bear his own burden. So you got those burdens of responsibility. Are there burdens? Did the Apostle Paul, directed by the Holy Spirit, when he said, bear ye one another's burdens, was he saying, if a burden should come up, there are burdens, aren't there? That's the reality. We all got burdens. We all got them. Every one of us. There are burdens. Hey, that takes care of the reality. Let's look right quick at the reason for burdens, okay? And I said we were going to let the Apostle Peter tell us the reason for burdens. We're going to look at 1 Peter, but I want to begin at the end of the book. You know, one of the great things is when you find the reason that a letter was written. Boy, that kind of, you know, it kind of opens up a new perspective on everything. If you're reading a letter and you're thinking, well, why am I getting this letter? What are they trying to get at? And then all of a sudden, you're told, hey, this is exactly the reason I'm writing this. Then, oh, you got a whole new perspective. Look at chapter 5, verse number 12. Peter says that, hey, this letter's coming to you by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose. Watch now. I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. What's the purpose for his writing? To remind you that you are standing in the grace of God. Standing now, not sitting. Standing, stand firm. Stand firm. You are standing in the grace of God, Christian. You are standing in the grace of God. Oh, Peter, when he begins this letter, he begins by telling them a few of the many blessings that are yours because you are standing in the grace of God. I'm in verse 3 of chapter 1. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a living hope." It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice." Can I stop there for just a minute? I rejoice. Don't you? I rejoice. I rejoice because I'm standing in the grace of God. He doesn't even expect me to be perfect. I'm standing in the grace of God. And I have an inheritance. An inheritance in heaven that's reserved for me. My wife dealt out some cash last night for a reservation. Now, when I get there, that room better be ready. And it better be waiting on me. It's reserved. Do I expect it to be there? Do you expect that room to be there, Bill? Yeah, she's got a reservation. It's reserved. I got a reward in heaven. I got an inheritance there. Incorruptible, undefiled. It's not going to fade away. Do I have a right to expect it? It's reserved for me. Do I have a right to expect it? Now, why wouldn't I rejoice? Wherein you rejoice. But watch. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, wait a minute, Peter. Let me understand this. I'm standing in the grace of God. I have an inheritance reserved in heaven for me, but for a short time, I'm enduring manifold temptations. I thought I was a Christian and nothing struggling and nothing difficult. No temptation ought to come my way. Then you hadn't read your Bible, have you? You're standing in the grace of God, but for a time, you're enduring these temptations. And Peter will launch into this then. In chapter 2, and in we're going to look at verse number 20. Just look at verse number 20. "For what glory is it if when you're buffeted," or "if when you suffer," "if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently." So you've done something wrong and you're punished for that. What would you expect to happen when you do something wrong? Would you expect to be corrected? Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes the burdens that I have to bear are because I've committed faults, I've done wrong. I'd hope my heavenly Father would say, "Well, he's no child of mine. I'm not going to try to correct him." What do you do when your kid messes up? And I don't care if they're 60 years old. I don't care how old my daughters get. If they're doing something wrong, I'm going to do my best to help get that corrected. You want your Heavenly Father correcting you, don't you? So sometimes the reason for our burdens is because we have committed these faults. But if you do well and you suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You mean there are some times when you're going to suffer because you did right? Yeah. Yeah. So there's another reason for burdens, is you're doing what's right. And as I told you last week, not everybody in this world wants you to be clean. There are some people in this world who want you to stink just like they stink. And if you say, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to be engaged in that, then you're going to endure some persecution for that. But that's the will of God, right? That's the will of God. If you get over into chapter, I'm just going to hustle through this. Look at chapter 3, verse number 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And don't be afraid of their terror. And don't be troubled. Okay, you're doing right. And you say, I'm not going to engage myself in that wrong. And those people are saying, well, but not engaging in it, you're saying we're wrong. And now they're upset with you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't do that. Stand firm. Stand firm. Look at chapter 4, and we'll wrap this little bit up. Let's just move on. Let's just go to chapter 5, okay? You can read chapter 4, and it's in there, folks. Look at chapter 5, verse number 6, beginning. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may be able to exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, now we found the reason for all burdens, right? Who's responsible for all the burdens that we endure? The devil. Remember Daddy Adam and Daddy and Mama Eve? Remember them way back yonder? They didn't endure these burdens until what? Till the devil got in it, right? He's the one responsible. Whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world, or in the brotherhood. It's common. These things are going to happen. They're going to happen. So you have the reality of burdens. They're there, right? You have the reason for the burdens. Now, what's our response to the burdens? Listen to Paul, Galatians chapter 6. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, I'd do something if I just knew what to do, I'd do something. Do you know anybody with a burden? Do you know anyone who's been overtaken in a fault? Do you? Then you got a responsibility. What is it? Do you know anyone who's suffering illness in the body at some level? Maybe it's old age. You know anyone? Maybe it's old age. You know anyone? Can you do anything? You say, well, what can I do? I know you can write cards, can't you? You can at least do that, can't you? You can write a card. You know, that word bear means to lift. It's real close to the word fellowship, which means to come alongside and support. Wow. Do you have a car? Do they have doctor's appointments? You know any situations like that, Mark? Yeah. Yeah. Well, is there anything I can do? You can bear a burden. You can bear a burden. You can help lift the load of responsibility that falls on those who are teachers and preachers and elders and deacons and Bible teachers and, you know, hey, they got responsibility, right? They got responsibility. Hey, instead of throwing one more rock on their wheelbarrow, why don't you see if you can't take one rock off? Is there something you can do? Yeah, you can. I woke Beverly up, asked her. These things happen regularly. But this week, I woke Beverly up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I've been thinking about this sermon. I woke her up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I said, Bev, you know my granddaddy Troy? Yeah, I know your granddaddy Troy. What? I said, you know my granddaddy Troy, he used to say, that man hoped me. Or I hoped that man one time. At first I was a little boy and I didn't think much about it, but as I got older, I took an English class. I thought to myself, I need to straighten my grandfather out. He's using the wrong word. He's supposed to be using the word helped, and he's using the word hoped. So the next time I was with him, and he said, that man hoped me one time. I said, Granddaddy, you know you're using the wrong word. You don't mean hoped, you mean helped. And he said, no, I'm using exactly the right word. Because I was in a situation where I was by myself. And it appeared to me that by myself this was hopeless. And that man hoped me. I never forgot that. You can give somebody hope. Because by themselves it appears hopeless. Is there anything we can do to help each other stand fast? We can bear one another's burdens. And as we do, we so fulfill the law of Christ. You've hoped me, brother. Thank you. You've hoped me, sister. Thank you. I'll be forever grateful for you throughout all of eternity because you hoped me. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, without hope, why don't you let us hope you? We'll study with you. We'll help you understand the will of God for your life as best we can. Right from the Word of God, we'll hope you. If you're here, you're a Christian, you're our brother and sister in Christ, but you need us. Sometimes we don't know. We can't hope you if we don't know that you're bearing a burden. Maybe we can help you, hope you this morning. If you stand in need of the invitation of our Lord, would you come? It's together we stand and sing.